Shalom. Greetings to you from Messianic Ministry to Israel. Shalom. I'm Reggie Lisenby, and I serve as the executive servant of Messianic Ministry to Israel. We are a mission board and sending agency since 1944, and we exist for the purpose of carrying the gospel of Yeshua back to where it came from, back to the Jewish people, and back to the Holy Land. Our family ministry teams are dedicated in sharing the hope of Yeshua with the people of Israel, and our Lord is opening doors. Jewish people are coming to faith in their Messiah Yeshua. Believers are growing, and the church is coming to understand and appreciate and love their Jewish roots. Thank you for your partnership with MMI, and we pray many blessings from the Lord upon you. Join me now as we open the divine library and see what the Lord has to say to us for these days in which we live concerning Israel. Last week, you may remember we talked about a book called Chanukah, and I mentioned at the end of the program that we would follow that study with the Star Gospel, with the peculiar sort of wisdom concerned with the heavenly bodies and their order. Now, this may sound like a message for Christmas, and I do have this Star Gospel study in my book, He Came Upon a Midnight, the Messiah Story. When the Magoi, or the wise men, came to Bethlehem seeking the newborn King of the Jews, they followed a star. Later, when Yeshua in his earthly ministry taught of his return in the last days, he spoke of another visible sign in the sky. And I quote Matthew 24:30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see Ben-Adam, the Son of Man, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Since the Holy Scriptures do not describe the Kokav of Bethlehem, or say very much about the sign of the Son of Man, that is Ben-Adam, the Son of Adam, we can only speculate about them, that is the signs, and about the star. Was the star of Bethlehem a fiat act, or was it the miracle of natural phenomena conjoined by the Creator to occur just at that given moment? Is it possible that the star, the Kokav of Bethlehem, and the sign of Ben-Adam, the Son of Man, are the same? If so, the star must be able then to reappear at the return of Messiah. Some theories about the origin and the nature of the star preclude this idea. Nevertheless, some years ago in a quarterly journal of the Royal Astronomical Society, three British scientists proposed a theory that the Kokav, that is the star of Bethlehem, so the star is in relationship to Bethlehem, could reappear at some time. Doctors John Parkinson of the Mullard Space Laboratory, Richard Stevenson of Newcastle University, and David Clark of the Royal Greenwich Observatory based their statement upon the theory that the Bethlehem star was not a conjunction of planets, as some believe, but a nova, a temporary flare-up of a distant star. After a study of ancient Chinese and Korean records, the three men concluded that the Bethlehem star was seen by the Chinese in 5 BC. The timing would have been correct because the monk Dionysius Exiguus is thought to have overlooked the four-year reign of the Emperor Augustus when he fixed the new era at 533 AD. And this era in calculation would then place the birth of Yeshua at 4 or 5 BC. The scientists theorized that the Star of Bethlehem was not the result of some planetary conjunction because, as described by the early writers, the light seems to have been far brighter than one might expect from a mere planetary conjunction. They thought that it was probably the Kokav Bethlehem, the Star of Bethlehem, of which, by the way, Saint Ignatius wrote in the 2nd century, and I quote him, "Its light was unspeakable, and its newness caused astonishment," close quote. The scientists further theorized that the star was not a supernova explosion, the total disintegration of a star, which would preclude its return. A supernova explosion would have lasted longer. The great supernova of 1066 was visible for about a year and a half, while according to the Chinese records, the great light thought to have been the Kokav Bethlehem, the Star of Bethlehem, was only visible for about 70 days. Dr. Parkinson said that the Bethlehem star was, quote, "likely to have been caused by a small super-dense dying star in orbit around a star that is probably still shining. The dense, small star, with its enormous gravitational field, would be pulling hydrogen gas off the larger star. The hydrogen would steadily accumulate around the dense star until, at a certain moment, it would detonate in a thermonuclear explosion. Then the whole process of accumulating hydrogen would start all over again until the next nuclear explosion, perhaps several thousand years later." Unsure of the distance of the nova, the three further theorized that the Star of Bethlehem will indeed eventually reappear either in the constellation of Capricorn or Aquila. And what I'm giving you is taken from a conjecture based on an article in the London Daily Telegraph. So a look at a study of the Kokav Bethlehem, the Star of Bethlehem, is not just for Christmas. It concerns the last days. Let me pitch in another thought. We know, of course, the divine library, God's holy scriptures. They were given by the Lord. They were inspired. They're inerrant. They're infallible. And God may be bigger, however, than the book we call the Bible. What I mean to say is there's much more that God's done that's not recorded for us in the divine library. There's much more that happened in the days of Adam and Chava, in the days of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, his dozen sons, in the days of Melech David, King David, much more happened than what's recorded for us in the Bible. God is much bigger than the book. God has infinite ways of disclosing himself. And when ancient civilized man was without a book form, they were not without the Word of God. John 1:1 says that the Word of God existed before creation, and one day the Word became living. Before Moshe wrote the Torah, the first five books, we call them Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In Hebrew, they're Bereshit, Shmilt, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. Before Moshe wrote those books that together make up the compilation called the Torah, and before Yehoshua wrote his book, and before the books of Shmuel, of David, of the prophets, both major and minor prophets, before the Gospels, the Word of God was. It was existing. And for more than 2,500 years, the world that was created by God was without a written revelation of God until Moshe began to write the Torah in 1445 BC. Yet they were not without the Word of God. They were without the book. Yet they knew, and they moved, and they obeyed the Lord. They planned. They knew something of God's revelation. Adam knew of the flood, and Adam also knew of the second coming of Mashiach and of the coming judgment by fire. Yeshua himself said that Avraham knew his day. How can that be? Speaking of Adam, he moved to teach his son Set to erect two great pillars to be a witness to this knowledge. And many people think the pillars, one of those is the Great Pyramid. There is another Bible, if I could use that term. It has always existed and it still exists today. In fact, it was made, this revelation of God, in Genesis 1:1, when God began to create the heavens and the earth. And Adam, the first man, the image of Elohim, he knew that Bible. His son Seth knew God's revelation. Enoch, or Enoch, of whom we spoke last week, Enoch knew it well. Noah knew God's word. Abraham knew God's word, and David did too. Jacob and his sons, Yaakov, knew something about the Lord, and it was revealed to him in the stars. Jeremiah knew it. The three wise men who came to Israel looking for the king, how did they know of such a king? How did they know it was Jerusalem where they were to come? It was in the stars. And God is still using his star gospel today. Let me read a quote from the famous Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, Book 1, Chapter 2, Section 3. Now, this Seth, this is the son of Adam, when he was brought up and came to those years in which he could discern what was good, became a virtuous man, and as he was himself of an excellent character, so did he leave children behind him who imitated his virtues. All these proved to be of good dispositions. They also inhabited the same country without dissensions, and in a happy condition, without any misfortunes falling upon them until they died. They also were the inventors of that peculiar sort of wisdom which is concerned with the heavenly bodies and their order, and that their inventions might not be lost before they were sufficiently known upon Adam's prediction that the world was to be destroyed at one time by the force of fire and at another time by the violence and quantity of water, they made two pillars, the one of brick, the other of stone. They inscribed their discoveries on them both that in case the pillar of brick should be destroyed by the flood, the pillar of stone might remain and exhibit these discoveries to mankind. Now, this remains in the land of Syriad to this very day. The famous Jewish historian Flavius Josephus suggests then that God gave the antediluvians long life so that they might perfect those things which they had invented concerning astronomy. We know that Persian and Arabian traditions ascribe the zodiac to Seth and Enoch. Isn't that something? Now, the word zodiac is from the Greek, but a primitive root through the Hebrew is zodi, meaning the path or the way. That is, the path or the way, I might even use the word orbit, in which the sun appears to move among the constellations. A chart of the zodiac shows 12 major stations or stops where the Shemesh, that's the Hebrew word for sun, where the Shemesh tabernacles or dwells 12 times in 1 year. In ancient times, the revelation of stargazing made the strongest impact on culture, science, and commercial transactions than any other knowledge. But what about the divine library? What do the Holy Scriptures have to say about the Zodi, about the zodiac or the constellations, or about stars? Well, first, in the first book of the Bible, Bereshit, the book we call Genesis, it says that the stars were made for signs and seasons. The word sign in Hebrew is the word ot, and it literally means to signal like a flag or a beacon. The Greek equivalent of that word ot is the word used in Lucas 21:25, and also Netanyahu used it. It's the word sima. Sima means to mark or to indicate. And stars were for ot, or signs, and seasons. The word season in Hebrew is Mo'adah. In fact, the feast of Israel are called Mo'adim. The Mo'adim are the feast, therefore seasons. They're for appointments, that is, fixed times, and specifically a festival for an assembly. The book of Job, Job 9:9, mentions the zodiac, and it mentions the constellations. Job, as you know, lived 650 years before Moshe. In fact, it could be the oldest book in the Bible. Perhaps Job wrote his book before Moshe wrote the Torah in 1445 BC. In Job 38:31, he mentions the stars and the constellations of the zodiac. He mentions Pleiades, the seven stars of Sema. He mentions Orion, which is also called Cecil. Job mentions the Mazarot, or the 12 signs of the zodiac. Job mentions the bear with her satellites, that is, the twin suns. The psalmist in Psalm 19 speaks of the star revelation with the Torah. In Psalm 19, the psalmist says that the heavens, the word in Hebrew is shamayim, the shamayim declares the kavod, the glory of God. A picture of the night sky is worth a thousand words, the psalmist is saying. It declares, it broadcasts, it displays the kavod, the glory, the shekinah of Elohim. And the expanse declares his creation, day-to-day declaration, Psalm 19:2, and night-to-night revelation, Psalm 19:2. There's not a culture, there's not a language group, there's no place that it does not preach, because everywhere you go, there's a sky, and there's a sun, and there's a moon, and there are stars. These constitute God's magnum opus, his great cantata, and in them, that is the Hashemayim in the heavens, in them he has placed a tabernacle for the sun. The picture there is a tent or a tabernacle moving in the wilderness. The tent or tabernacle is picturesque of a plan. So when Israel was moving with the tabernacle, the Mishkan of God, it was as though they were walking and doing on earth as they were seeing in heaven. That's interesting. As the bridegroom leaves his chamber to run his course from the start to the finish line, everything and everyone is being affected by God's design. In Psalm 147, verse 4, Elohim, God, numbers and names the stars. Well, that's not too bad if there are only a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand or even a couple of hundred of thousand. But our scientists have told us that there are 10 with 20 zeros behind it. That's the number of the stars in the heavens. They're innumerable. We can't count them. God has. He's counted them, he's named them, and he knows them. Isaiah 40:26, it says that Elohim leads them, that is the Kokavim, the stars, by number, and Yeshayahu, Isaiah the prophet, also suggest, in harmony with the psalmist, that God calls them by name. In Isaiah 13:9 and 10, the stars are spoken in context of eschatology. In the minor prophetical book Amos, Amos 5:8 says that Elohim made Pleiades and Orion. It mentions the stars, the constellations. In 2 Kings 23:5, good King Josiah destroyed all of those who worship the sun, the moon, and the constellations, because these are not God, these are created by God. And then in Acts 28:11, the Shileach Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells us the figurehead of the ship, the twin brothers, called Castor and Pollux. What is also interesting concerning the stars and concerning Israel, from the beginning, seven times in the book of Bereshit, seven times in the book of Genesis, God tells his people Israel, you will be as the stars. 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 Seven times. Genesis 15:5, Genesis 22:17, Genesis 26:4, Exodus 32:13, Deuteronomy 1:10, Deuteronomy 10:22, Deuteronomy 28:62, and then the next mention of stars is the book in Shoftim, the book of Judges, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, and read it. After seven times God telling Israel, "You will be like the stars," Judges 5:19 and 20 says that the stars in their orbit fought for Israel. Reminiscent, I think, by the way, of cosmic judgment against Egypt when there was a universal blackout that happened for 3 days. Again, concerning the star gospel, which God created for the antediluvians, for the patriarchal fathers. Of course, Satan, the devil, is always going to corrupt what God has made. And he did so. We read in Genesis chapter 11 of the Tower of Babel. There's satanic corruption of what God has made, and the ancients began worshiping the sun and the moon, Mercury and Venus and Mars and Jupiter and Saturn. And from these five particular planets, we get our seven-day week. That's where the names of our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday come from. Sunday, Moon Day, etc. What was the corruption? Observing the sun, observing the moon, seeing if there's knowledge from God in them? No. The corruption was they substituted God's orchestrated sheep music, the story of his Messiah. They substituted the Lord's messianic plan to be deities themselves that exerted power over their lives, much like the horoscope today. The objective of mankind has always been to study the sovereignty of the bigness of God, the greatness of God. The Hebrew word is Gadol. God is Elohim is Gadol. That God has infinite ways of showing himself, displaying himself. And that while ancient civilization was without his written word, in book form, they were not without the word of God. If we painted a picture of the whole sky on the ceiling, which, by the way, was done in the ziggurat in Babel, the Tower of Babel, we would have a 360-degree circle. This is called the ecliptic. The ecliptic from ages past has been and is today divided into 12 stations, or 12 tabernacles for the sun, as we just read from the psalm. As the sun seemingly travels around the ecliptic every 30 days, it tabernacles in a station. These stations have come to be called Eres, the lamb, Taurus, which is the bull, Gemini, or Gemini, the twins, Cancer, the crab, Leo, the lion, Virgo, the virgin, Libra, the scales, Scorpio, the scorpion, Sagittarius, the archer, Capricornus, the great fish, Aquarius, the water pourer, and Pisces, the fishes. But it's interesting to note that the signs bear little or no resemblance to the constellation. If 1,000 people gathered tonight to name the constellations, they would not come up with the pictures or those names given to them. Those 12 stations by name has been corrupted, but it's very possible, as the patriarchal fathers we believe thought, those 12 stations represent the 12 sons of Yaakov. You recall that when Yosef had the dream of the sun, the moon, and the other 11 brothers all bowing to his star or his constellation, he was referring to all of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. Yes, they do. I believe the heavens also declare the gospel of Yeshua, which is, of course, the kavod of Elohim is his glory. And they shall see Ben Adam, the Son of Man, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, this may sound like a message for Christmas, and I do have this star gospel study in my book, He Came Upon a Midnight, the Messiah Story.
This This program is a production of Messianic Ministry to Israel. If you are blessed by the biblical content we share each week, would you please consider giving a gift of support to our mission board? Messianic Ministry to Israel is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and your gift will help cover the necessary expenses associated with this broadcast and help keep our program on the air. You can give securely at our website, www.mmisrael.org, or you may call 423-855-4818. That's 423-855-4818. Also, would you let us know that you listen to our program each week? That would be very encouraging to us. Thank you very much for praying for Messianic Ministry to Israel, and thank you for your generous gift of support. Shalom Bayit. Peace to your house.
Thank you for listening to Messianic Ministry to Israel, a mission board since 1944. Learn more about our ministry at mmisrael.org.